You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I tell you what, I believe with all my heart that if it ain't good, he ain't done. And so if you're here today and you're in a situation that isn't good yet, it ain't over yet. If it isn't good yet, God's not done yet, amen? God says that he takes all things, and works them together for the benefit of those who love the Lord and according to his purposes. Is there anyone in this room that loves the Lord? Is there anyone called according to God's purposes? Come on. Then if it ain't good, what? It ain't done. Amen. Praise God. Man, I'm excited to preach. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. Rumor has it, it's the greatest church in the universe. Some people got some shirts made and everything, so it must be true. And so I'm super glad that you're here today. And you're super welcome here. So welcome to church. I really am glad that you are here. And we've got a gift for you after the service. Double black doors down the back there. We've got a team of people waiting to give you a special gift today. So God bless you. Can we give all our new people a great big hand? Welcome to church. Here, there, and everywhere. You can all take your seats. It's exciting to be in church with you today. Man, I get excited about church every single weekend, right? Every single weekend. Every weekend. I'm like, is it Sunday yet? Or Saturday? Sorry, is it Saturday or Sunday? We have services on both days. Is it weekend yet? I get pumped every single weekend. And this weekend, we're going sort of semi-off topic, or as you would say, semi. Is that right? Semi. Yeah, it's semi, just so you know. They're semi-trucks. That's what we say in Australia. We're going semi-off topic today. I'm closing out the How to Live in Blessing sermon series, which has been a sermon series mostly about finance and blessing. But today's message is mostly about faithfulness in every single area of your life. It applies directly to your finances. Amen. But I want you to live in blessing in every single area of your life, not just in your finances. Now, your finances do have the ability to affect every area of your life, though, don't they, right? If you're blessed in your finances, that's going to help make a lot of other things easier. If you're blessed in your finances, your education is going to be easier. If you're blessed in your finances, your eating habits are going to be better. Amen? And so having great finances has the great ability to influence almost every area of your life. And so faithfulness in your finances will be an extraordinary influence on your life. But I want to talk to you about more than just your finances today. I want to talk to you about faithfulness in every single area of your life. And leading up to this weekend, I was thinking, what am I going to preach on? And I was in the car with Judah and Eli. I was dropping them off at school. And Judah loves to listen to Joel Osteen, so we put Joel Osteen on. And he was talking about being faithful with the small things. And then Eli, after listening for a little while, chimes up in the back and goes, so is that like if I clean my room, one day I'll have a house? And I'm like, it's exactly like that. That's exactly what the Word of God was in the car that morning, right? And I was excited. So I thought, you know what? If Eli can get it, I'm hoping you can get it too. Amen. So I thought, now I'm not plagiarizing. Every time I take any notes listening to anyone or anything, Judah, my son, always asks me if I'm plagiarizing. And I'm like, no, Judah, you can hear one line or one story from someone else and get inspired and write your own sermon, all right? Just, bro, don't go write their sermon, okay? Don't do that. And so I was inspired by that little conversation with Eli, taking care of the small things and seeing God do great things and big things in your life. And that's what I want to see happen in your life as well. So who wants to receive from God today? Awesome. Let me pray for you though. Reach out your hands in faith if you want to receive a word from the Lord today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are good, and that you're always good. We thank you that if it ain't good, you ain't done. And God, we lift up the word to you today. We ask you to help us to discover gems of truth in it. And we thank you that your word is full of wisdom and keys to living in blessing. Help us to learn more of those keys to living a blessed life. We receive your word with faith-filled and anticipating hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's dig right into Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through to 18. It says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, to another 1 bag of gold, each according to the ability that they had in their life." Now, so some other times the master has gone out of town and trusted his servants and seen who is able to do and who is able to manage what they're able to manage, and he gave them something according to those abilities, right? And so it wasn't the first time, he already knew what they could all handle, right? Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. Oh, if I had 5 bags of gold, gave it to you, and you gave me 5 bags more at the other end, I tell you what, I'm gonna give you all my bags of gold. Come on. So also the one with 2 bags of gold, he gained 2 more percentages right here, exactly the same. They both did the exact same thing and increased it by 100%. But the man who had received 1 bag of gold went off, dug a hole. Come on, someone say, dug a hole. What's that? Dug a hole. Dale dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Sorry, that's a quote from an Australian movie that no one in this room has even seen. Dale dug a hole and he put it in the ground. Then the parable goes on to explain that when the master came home, he was proud of the one who invested 5, turned it into 10, right? It goes on to say that the master was proud of the one who invested 2, turned it into 4, right? If I gave you 2, you turned it into 4, I'm going to be happy with you. If you give me 2, I turn it into 4, you're going to be happy with me, right? It goes on to say that. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things." What's interesting is that the one with 5, it was a few things. That was a few things. Still just a little amount. "You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your father's happiness, in your master's happiness, sorry." See, both of them doubled the master's investment. One of them received less than half what the other received. One received 5, put it to work. The one who received 2 received less than half of what the other one received, didn't he? But instead of being jealous, frustrated, and angry, he just went and put it to work. But to the third person, the one who received half of what the second person received, less of a step down than what the second person received, the master turned and said, "You should have put my money," whose money? "My money. You should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they do not have, will be taken from them." Whoever can be trusted, this is what Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with a very small amount can be trusted with much more. Jesus goes on to say this in Luke 16. Whoever can be trusted with a very small amount can be trusted with much more. Whoever is dishonest and tardy with what they already have will also be dishonest and tardy when they gain much more. And so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who would trust you with heavenly riches? That is an incredible passage. The title of my sermon today is simple: Faithfulness to Fruitfulness. Come on, faithfulness to fruitfulness. Tell your neighbor what it is. Make sure you don't remember it. Tell them. If you weren't listening, it's faithfulness to fruitfulness. How many times do you hear stories about people who sold shares just before they skyrocketed? Right? And they're like, "I could have been rich. I would have been rich." They tell you that, right? "I could have, should have, would have." How many times have you heard that story? "I sold my Amazon shares when they were $5. I had 100,000 of them," right? They're like, "No, now I'd be worth $500 million. No, more, billions, right? I'd be worth so much more." People who, during the economic downturn, during the global financial crisis, the people who sold their stocks, now if they had kept them, they'd be worth far more than they were before the global financial crisis. Did you know that? On average, if you kept your shares, the only people who lost were the people who sold. The people who kept their shares sailed through and are doing better now than they were beforehand. Because faithfulness is an almost universal concept. In almost every area of our lives, we find that faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. But you don't get it. Do you know how I know? Because you just sat there like nothing happened. If you're new here, you got to know, you got to yell at me when I preach. Don't copy the people around you right now. They're not doing it right, okay? We're in this together, all right? We preach together. It's not just a man on a stage, all right? Come on, if you want to receive, you got to yell back at me, all right? Faithfulness always leads to fruitfulness. Can I get an amen? That's what I'm talking about. Don't make me high-five myself in the middle of a sermon. That'll be embarrassing, all right? Come on. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Look at David. David did not kill Saul, right? David was anointed by God to be the next king after Saul. David was not Saul's son. Saul's son was Jonathan. Jonathan should have been the next king after Saul. But God says, this throne is going to pass from you over here to David instead of your family line. Now, God has anointed David to be king. David, you're going to be king. Then one day Saul finds himself in a cave where David is hidden in the dark. Now God said, David, you're going to be the king after Saul. David could have killed the man in that cave and took the crown and took the kingdom for himself right then and there. At this point, Saul is searching the galaxy. I just broadened it a little bit. For David to kill him. He's got thousands of men searching the world to find David so he can kill David. David is in a cave. Saul walks in to relieve himself. He's having a whiz. That's the greatest time to kill someone. They're paying no attention at all, right? Can we be real, right? What's he going to do? Oh, hey, wait a second. Zip. No, dead, right? He could have killed him right there. Was that too graphic? But David instead says, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. But God had anointed David, but Saul's still alive. Saul's the one that God said would be king at that time. And David says, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Instead, I will continue to serve where God has put me now. He remained faithful to Saul. He remained faithful to God. All he did was run from Saul. He didn't fight him. He remained faithful to Saul, faithful to God, and so God rewarded David's faithfulness by allowing David to be king of all of Israel and his son Solomon after him. Church, faithfulness will elevate you. Faithfulness will lift you up. Faithfulness will promote you. Faithfulness will elevate you wherever you are. You aren't going to climb the ladder if you keep switching ladders. If you want to be elevated, if you want to be promoted at work, you're going to have to stick around long enough to actually get noticed. People who every 6 months they got a new job, I got a new job, that boss was a tyrant, so I got a new job because that boss was a tyrant, I got a new job again because that boss was a tyrant. After a little while, I'm starting to think you're a spoiled little brat. Is that okay? Right? Stick around long enough for somebody to notice what God's put on your life, amen? You're going to have to stick around long enough to get noticed if you ever want to get elevated or promoted. Too many people want to have a Hollywood experience where they turn up at work and someone immediately sees how impressively good-looking you are, falls in love with you and gives you the keys to the kingdom. Too many people want people to notice on the first day that they meet you the potential that God has put in you, but they won't. For a long time, the only people who are going to know the potential that God's put in you is you and God. You got to be faithful with the little things before you're going to be trusted with the big things. Amen. And if you do like Scripture says, and work hard, and keep working hard as though you're working for the Lord, is that what it says? And then it goes on to say, because in fact you are working for the Lord, amen. Then your faithfulness will elevate you where you are, or it'll promote you to where you're going. An old friend of mine once told me when I was going into the ministry that the greatest key to having an influential church is to stick around long enough. That's it. The second piece of advice was, don't do anything stupid. I said, I can't guarantee the second one, but I'll do my best. It's to stick around long enough. And that's the same for you at your job. Stick around long enough. And it's not just sticking around long enough just to get noticed, although that's one of it, but stick around long enough to actually learn something about the job. I know, this is tough, isn't it? But listen up, faithfulness will elevate you and faithfulness will educate you. Got to stick around long enough to actually figure out how to do the job. And because if you want to manage other people doing the job, you better know how to do the job the best way, amen? It'll elevate you in your workplace. Faithfulness will elevate you in your family. Can I get an amen? And faithfulness will even elevate you in your church. Oh, I want to run that department. I only go to church every 3 weeks. Probably not enough. Yeah, everyone got real quiet then. They're like, Clearly I'm talking to the wrong people, right? Because y'all are here right now. Yeah, come on, right? You ready for the next one? Have you heard about David's mate, Jonathan? Right? Jonathan was King Saul's son. The throne should have gone from Saul to Jonathan if the way of the world was the way that it went, but the way of the Lord was the way that it went. Amen. He should have been bitter and angry and twisted up and down about the fact that he wouldn't inherit his father's throne, that he wouldn't inherit his father's kingdom. He should have wanted to kill David for being passed over. The throne is supposed to be mine. The kingdom is supposed to be mine. Imagine that your daddy or your mummy owns a big business. Instead of giving it to you, goes to your cousin. You're like, what the heck, man? I've been here the whole time. Jonathan should have been mad. But instead, he stayed faithful to his friend. See, Jonathan, David, they were best mates. They were best buddies. And instead of getting angry, Jonathan remained faithful, loyal, committed to his best mate, David. What's interesting is the blessing of Jonathan's faithfulness didn't end with his death. See, much time later, King David remembers Jonathan's faithfulness and he says to his servants, go search the land. Is there any descendants of Jonathan alive? Is anyone of my friend Jonathan's family alive? Because Jonathan was so faithful to me, so loyal to me. He was such a good friend that I want to bless the line of Jonathan. The king that tried to kill him, Saul, I want to bless that lineage. I want to bless someone in that family because of Jonathan. And they say, yeah, there is a guy, Jonathan's son. He's a cripple. He's disabled. His feet are all mangled up and they don't work. He's alive. They go get Jonathan's son. They bring him to the palace. And he's freaking out because what would normally happen in this story is that boy's a threat to the throne. That boy's a threat to the claim, to the crown. And so they'd kill him. So he comes in, he's scared, he's worried, what's going on? I'm a cripple, why are you even bothering with me? What could I possibly do? And Jonathan says, because of your father, because of his faithfulness, because of his kindness, because of his commitment and loyalty to me as a friend, you're going to live in the palace with me. You're going to eat with the king. You are going to eat and be like a part of my family. Jonathan's faithfulness prepared the way for his future disabled son to live in blessing. You don't know what hardships one of your descendants might face, but the things you do now, your faithfulness now has a way of finding favor on your family for generation after generation after generation. Jonathan was a faithful friend and his faithfulness blessed him and his son. What about Abraham? I know Abraham was jacked up every direction, messed up. I've been reading about it. I read the whole book of Genesis in one day, and that's when you really get a grasp of how just absolutely bat crap crazy that whole family was, right? On every level, that family was messed up, all right? Some of y'all are like, that's a family we should be looking up to. Heck no. No, there's like five things that family did that you should do. Other than that, steer clear, right? Like, one of them was they were faithful to God. In the midst of being foolish and messing things up, they were faithful to God. Abraham was so faithful, he followed God's directions to go far away to an unknown land. And I know he and Sarah made some, like, bro, it was written on the wall that this is dumb kind of mistakes, right? Like, hey, let's just pimp out my wife to Pharaoh. No, bro, don't do that. Like, I know that's a dumb idea. Anybody else? Like, anyone need to read a book to figure out that's a bad idea? Like, I don't need to read that book. I know it's a bad idea, right? Sarah's like, well, you made me do that. Well, you do this. Go sleep with this other Egyptian servant so we can have a son. Like, I don't even need to read that book either. Like, I know, like, that's a trap. Let's not do that. We talked about that last week. Don't do that, right? They made some jacked up mistakes. And I'm talking foolishness. Sleeping with the wrong people, left, right, and center. But still, after all of that, Abraham believed that God would give him a son, that God would honor his word to him. And then at some point, he got faithful and even more faithful. And even though he and his wife were very old, God gave them a son. And God rewarded Abraham's faithfulness over his foolishness. Your faithfulness will outweigh your foolishness. Some of y'all in here are like, man, I've been pretty foolish. Stop being faithful. It will outweigh your foolishness. Faithfulness will cause God to take the foolishness and work it together to bless your life. Can I get an amen? And then God blessed his descendants and promised that they would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. See, the fruit of your faithfulness will be inherited by your children. The fruit of your faithfulness will be inherited by your grandchildren. The fruit of your faithfulness will be inherited by your children's children's children. Come on, if you receive that, give me an amen. Hallelujah. See, I'm in the ministry not just because of my dad's faithfulness. He had a measure of faithfulness, but I'm in the ministry because of my grandfather's incredible faithfulness. My grandfather was the one praying for all 20-something grandchildren. Every morning at 5 a.m., every morning, my grandfather was the one being ridiculed on the street corners as he was a street preacher every single Saturday. That was my grandfather. He was the one who prayed a stop to the devil's strongholds on our family. And hallelujah, I'm living in victories that other members of my past family have not. See, your faithfulness to God will cause a spiritual inheritance that will bless your family for generations. There are going to be things that my own kids are going to look back at and say, thank God for Grandpa Alan Newman. Thank God he prayed. Thank God he gave his life to Jesus. Thank God he preached on those street corners. Thank God he loved every person that he came into contact with. Thank God he prayed on his knees, just believing for favor and favor and favor on his family. They'll be thanking God for that. Come on, your faithfulness, hallelujah. It's going to overrule your foolishness. It's going to overrule the devil's attack, hallelujah. You don't know what drama, what issues, what struggles, what disabilities and strongholds your descendants might face, but they will look back and say, thank God for what you did. Thank God for your faithfulness. Through thick and thin, you remained faithful to God. You were in church every week. You were serving in your church every week or two. You were praying for your family every single day. Thank God for Grandma and Grandpa and what they did in our lives. Just like when Jonathan's son was invited to go live with the king, he was grateful that his father was a faithful man. Hallelujah. Have you heard the story of Joseph? I wrote my whole sermon about Joseph, but I accidentally named him Daniel. And as I was practicing my sermon, I'm like, that ain't Daniel. That's Joseph. I don't know why I'm telling you that, but anyway, I fixed my notes. They now say Joseph. Now that dude was the absolute epitome of faithfulness. Like, he was the absolute epitome of faithfulness. He didn't bend, he didn't buckle. even under the most extreme of circumstances. Faithful in every job, faithful in every relationship, faithful in all of his wealth, faithful to God in every position that God put him in. Joseph was a faithful man. If you don't know the story goes like this. Joseph was having a snooze one day, and he had a dream from God. Many of you have dreams in your heart from God too. If you do have a dream, something that God put in your heart, something that you want to happen in your life, listen up. Joseph had a dream. Because of that dream, his brothers, God didn't do it to him, but because of that, the jealousy that his brothers had, when they heard about it, they beat him to a pulp and threw him in a hole in the ground. Then they sold him as a slave. Then he ends up being sold again to a man named Potiphar. He works in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife accuses him of trying to sleep with her. He's like, God, I've been faithful and faithful and faithful. But these people just keep coming at me and at me and at me. He worked hard for Potiphar. He wasn't distracted by the dream. He wasn't frustrated by the position that he found himself in. He knew and believed that God would be the one who would elevate him. See, sometimes people who know that they're destined to do great things get distracted by the future great things and forget to pay attention to the little things today. I've done that. I don't know if you've done that. But we get so future focused, we forget about what God's put in front of us today. We get so obsessed with the dream, we get so obsessed with the destiny that we become useless in the here and the now. Imagine if Joseph was like, God said I'm going to rule over a nation. God said that people are going to bow down to me. I'm not doing these dishes for you people, right? I'm not vacuuming this floor, and not because they're not invented yet, because I don't want to. Don't they know who I'm going to be? Don't they know? Don't they know what I'm going to do? Don't they know how important I will be in this place one day? No, they don't know that. Only you and God know who you're going to be right now. All we can see is how well you work now. All the rest of the world can see is how well you respond right now. And so Joseph stays faithful. And eventually, God elevates him to a position of prime minister over all of Egypt because he was faithful. Are you with me, church? Yeah. See, if he had got petty and angry and frustrated in the little things, he would never have become what he was destined to be. If he had got angry having to do the dishes, he'd never have become what he was destined to be, and he would have blamed God for it. Why didn't you do that, God? You said that you would do this. Why didn't you do what you promised me? And God would say, I did do it. But you kept jumping off the train. So I put you on another train. Because who knows, God's going to be faithful even when we're foolish sometimes. So we jump off the train and God says, well, I'll put you on another train. But he's not going to force you to stay on any of the trains. What am I saying? I'm saying, what do you have right now? What are you doing right now? What talents, what gifts, what wealth, what has God already given you? If you ever want to become all that you're destined to be, you need to use what God has given you now. You got to use what's in your hand today. When I moved from Australia to Iowa, not only did every TSA agent go, why Iowa? And I'm like, clearly you haven't been there. It's the greatest state in the union. Can I get an amen? When I moved here, my volunteer leadership team in Australia was bigger than our entire church was in 2012. And my wage in Australia was almost double what it was when I arrived here. But I knew that God had called us to be a great church. I knew that we would grow. I knew that God would bless us. But imagine if I walked around acting like I was too good for the small church. No, I don't want that. I'm waiting for the big church that I saw in my dream. Which, by the way, we ain't anywhere near what God's promised to do in our church. So there ain't going to be any sitting down, relaxing and saying, yeah, we made it. No, we have not. Our vision is not a destination. It's a direction. Amen? Imagine if Lauren and I weren't willing to grow with the church and instead we got it up to 100 and started looking around for another church that was 150. And then another, then another, then another. Imagine if we kept getting off the ladder or jumping off the train. Getting angry at God for not putting us in the large church that he showed me in my dreams. He would respond and say, I did put you in that church, but you jumped out. It was going to be that church, but you got impatient. You jumped off the train looking for instant recognition, looking for instant promotion, looking for instant elevation. You weren't faithful. I'm so glad we didn't jump off the train. Anyone else glad that they're staying on the train? You could just stand up with me, church, as we get ready to close the service. I'm so glad that we stayed on the train and, you know, that we started off like the last guy in the parable of the talents. God gave us just a little bit. Not just me, he gave us all just a little bit, right? Like all of us, we had just a little bit. And we were faithful and he doubled it. And we were faithful and he doubled it again. And we were faithful and he doubled it again. And we were faithful and he doubled it again and again and again and again. And when we remain faithful, he will continue to bless us and trust us with more and more and more and more and more and more. Double, 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 double. Because those who are faithful with a little will be blessed with much more. Let's go back to the start as we close it. Notice in the parable how the master said, you should have invested my money. The talent, the time, the gifts, the resource, the finance that you have, they belong to God. You're a steward. My name's not Stuart. No, I said you're a steward. S-T-E-W-A-R-D. A steward. What's a steward? Well, the guy that you give your money to invest your money, is stewarding your money. Whose money is it? Yours, not his. The better it does, the better you do, the better it does, the better he does, right? Because he gets a commission. You're a steward. When God handed me this church 7 years ago, he asked me to steward something that he loved. If I abused it, if I went to sleep when I should have been working, if I got angry that he didn't give me a big enough wage, if I buried it in the ground and went and find another church that was bigger, I would have been neglecting something that he loves, some people that he loves. And it's the same with you. Your job is from the Lord. Your money is from the Lord. What's interesting about your money, since we are in the How to Live in Blessing finance sermon series, let's pause for a second there. If Joe or Sean or someone was my investor and I gave them $100,000 and let's say they get a 10% commission on the increase, and let's say they increase it by $100,000, they just earned $10,000, right? What's fascinating with God is we are the investor, we are the steward, and he only wants the commission. That's nuts, isn't it? He wants 10% of everything he's given us, and we get to keep the rest. That's nuts. That ain't in my notes, by the way. That was just, you know. Anyway, we'll move on from that though, won't we? Your money is from the Lord. Your time is from the Lord. People say your days are numbered by the Lord, right? I don't know if you've ever heard of Hezekiah, but God added 15 years to his life. God added 15 years to his life because he was faithful. Your giftings and your talents, they're from the Lord. Your children, your kids, they are the Lord's. They're from the Lord. Don't be like the wicked servant who wasted God's treasure. Double it. Come on, double it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, double it. If you double it, he will double yours. Amen. Use what's in your hands. Be faithful, using the time that he's given you, using the gifts that he's given you, using the wealth that he's given you. Ephesians says, making the most of every opportunity as he brings them to you. And as you do that, and as we live in that, he will double, double, double. He'll give you that double, double, double kind of life. If you want to be fruitful, you're going to have to be faithful. If you want to be fruitful, you're going to have to be faithful. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise if you receive that today. In a few minutes, we're going to open up the altar for people who want to have prayer. Man, we just love to pray. I can't tell you enough. I can't encourage you enough to get down the front and get prayer. All of y'all. All y'all. All right. Come down the front and get prayer. I got to tell you, I don't ever want to be in a service where nobody gets prayer. Somebody come into the room today needing something from God. Man, He is both willing and able to miraculously and suddenly change your life. In this church, we've seen people healed of cancer. We've seen people healed of allergies. We've seen people healed of little things like headaches. Who knows, a little headache's a big thing the day you got it. Hey, if there's something in your life you wish was different in your body, your mind, your heart, your relationships, come down the front and ask for prayer. If faithfulness has been a struggle for you and you find yourself getting antsy, getting frustrated after every time you hit 2 years at your job, you're just like, I need another job. And then you find yourself starting from scratch again at the next place. If faithfulness in your life in different areas, if faithfulness in your marriage, if faithfulness in any area of your life has been a struggle, why don't you come down the front? We got men and women of faith waiting to pray for you. Your faith may be little, but theirs is overflowing and they'll share it with you. So come on down the front for prayer in just a moment. But first, there's another group of people that I want to pray for. And that's people who don't know Jesus, all right? Or maybe you've walked away from Him, but check this out. Faithfulness will bring fruitfulness into your life. Looking after what He's already given you, He will bless you with more. The first thing He's given you is your life. You get one life. You don't get another life on earth. This is it, only one. What you do with it will determine what happens next. And what we do now will determine how we spend eternity. What we do with our life will determine how God responds to our life even now on earth. Our faithfulness on earth will cause God to bring a fruitfulness, not just for eternity, but on earth as well. See, all of that stuff, that's not just about eternity, that's about now. Faithfulness in your life now will elevate you. Faithfulness will educate you so you can do what you're called to do. Amen. Faithfulness will bless you, it will bless your kids, it will bless their kids, and it will bless the people that come around you. The first thing you need to do to start being faithful in your life is to use that one life you've got to honor God. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Give your life to Him. Say yes to God. Scripture says that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I had plans for you, plans to prosper you and plans to bless you and plans to increase you. And He specifically goes on to say, not to harm you. Then Jesus quotes it. It seems like He quotes it, doesn't it? When He says, the devil comes to harm you, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life abundantly. And so if you give Him your life today, or if you come back to Him today, you will start living that blessed life that He designed for you way back when He said, let us make mankind in our image. And He designed you. So to give Him your life today, I just want you to pray a prayer with me. Because Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. It doesn't say change your life, become perfect and be a righteous person. It doesn't say any of that. It actually says that if you give Him your life, He will do the work to make you righteous. It won't even be you, right? So all we need to worry about between you and me is you give Him your life, okay? So to do that, I want you to pray this prayer with me one line at a time. I'm going to say it and I want you to boldly repeat it after me. Everyone in this room prays this prayer with me every single week. It's over 1,000 people every single week. We pray this prayer together. just reaffirming to God how grateful we are that He's in our life. And we want you to join us today and give Him your life as well. So everybody repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it. Special just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise today. If you prayed that prayer, there's three things I want you to do. The first one is I want you to tell somebody what you did. Tell the person standing next to you. Tell the person who brought you. Maybe tell a family member when you get home today. Tell someone over a meal that you gave your life to Jesus. Or throw it up on Instagram. Throw it up on Facebook and say, gave my life to Jesus. Gonna be blessed from now on, right? Tell somebody what you did. Then bring them with you to church next weekend. That'd be fantastic. Let them find what you found today. The second thing is I want you to tell us. And by doing that, we're going to give you a gift in the mail, okay? So text the word SAVED to the number 25827, okay? The word SAVED to the number 25827. And as you do that, we're going to get your deets and we're going to send you a CD, a Bible, a great gift and a gift card to a local coffee shop. And we just want to bless you. We're obsessed with blessing people. We're obsessed with generosity. So give us this opportunity to bless you. Text the word SAVED to the number 25827. God bless you. The last thing is I want you to tell me and Pastor Sean what you did today. So if everyone in the room could close their eyes from the front to the back, from the right to the left, whether you're in Clive, in Adele, whether you're watching online, whoever you are, just everybody just close your eyes. The way I want you to do this is I want you to lift up your hand. With no eyes looking around, oh, hands are already going up. Do you know what? I'm not even going to explain it right now. If you prayed that prayer, if you prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus Christ, or you're coming back to Him right now, I want you all to lift up your hand again and show me who you were. God bless you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody else? 5. Anybody else? Just lift up your hand. 5, 6 in Clive, 7 in Clive, anywhere else. Come on. Sean will be counting in Adele, and we got online. If you're watching online on Facebook or something, just text the words, just text that number as well, or send us a personal message. We want to pray for you as well. So, all right, we're going to pray for you. That was 7 people here, a number everywhere else. Come on, let's lift our hands up in faith and pray for all those people that gave their lives to Jesus Christ today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in you there is new life, that in you there is grace, there is mercy. And Lord God, I thank you that today, that all the people everywhere that lifted up their hands, all the people that prayed this prayer for the first time, that they are walking into mercy, they are walking into grace, they are walking into blessing, because God, you haven't come to steal, you haven't come to hurt, you haven't come to destroy, but you have come to give us life, and life abundantly, full of dreams, hopes, desires, and blessing, Lord God. And I pray that right now, that you would infuse that on those people, Lord God, that you would seal that on their hearts, that they would know as they leave the service today that God is good and He's blessed my life. They've been touched by heaven right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a great shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm going to walk off this stage, give people an opportunity to receive prayer, but there's something else that I just want to say to you before you go. I want to repeat these things back to you. If you were here today, right, and you need a miracle in your life, or there's something going on, or there's a dream that you're waiting for, a promise like we talked about last week, faithfulness will lead to fruitfulness. Faithfulness will elevate you above other people. Faithfulness will educate you, will give you the skills to do what God's called you to do, amen. And faithfulness will bless you, your kids, and your kids' kids, both now and forever, in Jesus' name, amen. So give the Lord a shout of praise if you receive that word today, hallelujah. Hallelujah.